I've discovered this week that toothpaste is something of a mystery to me. Now, I know how toothpaste works generally. It cleans your teeth, all that sort of thing. And whilst my children have some of that toothpaste that has the lines in it, that's quite confusing and exciting how they get those lines in there. But that's not the thing that confuses me about toothpaste. The thing that confuses me about toothpaste is you have a great big thick tube, and then it takes about, let's say, 2 months to get through the tube, so then you have to start squeezing, and then you start squeezing, and then when it's at the point for squeezing, when that big tube is gone and just this tiny little thin thing, that lasts about 4 or 5 months before it gets empty. Now, this is a problem for me because when it gets to that stage, my children can't squeeze it out anymore and I have to use my big fatherly muscles to squeeze it out. Yet somehow this toothpaste, which I think, okay, this is about near the end, this is where the toothpaste will end, it just keeps going over and over again. This toothpaste will never end, so I can't just throw that tube out, get a new one out, and then my kids can put their own toothpaste on their toothbrush. Now, I realise that that's a silly thing to be annoyed at, that there's more toothpaste than I thought. Surely that's something I should be excited about. Yet the way that we expect things to happen often shape the way we view things. Whether something's good or bad depends on how we look at it. This brings us today to Ecclesiastes. We've started a quest to ask ourselves, what is the point of it all? We're in this unusual but brilliant book. I went into a bit of detail last week about how we can try and understand this book. So if you have questions, you can catch up in the sermon online. But in short, the important things to know is that this is a wisdom book. So along with Proverbs and Job, these books offer us advice to chew on and decipher and work out how it is that we live best in this world. Proverbs is the first wisdom book, and it offers us the wisdom to sort of live your life, the basic instructions. Then Ecclesiastes and Job come along with the exceptions to the rules. Proverbs kind of says, on the road of life, if you follow these road rules, then you will go and you'll live your life well. But then Ecclesiastes comes on and says, well, okay, that's good advice to live your life, but that won't stop anyone from running into your car when you're on the road. And what are you even doing on the road to begin with? And then Job comes along and says, well, if someone does run into you, then whose fault is it, really? Now, in Ecclesiastes, we have these collected sayings of someone that the book calls Kohelet. He is going on a wisdom journey to try and work out what is good in life. Since it's a journey, he is not right every step of the way, and he often contradicts himself, but the guy who has collected all these sayings, he chimes in at the end to say, Kohelet's words, they're really like a pointed stick meant to provoke you to seek God in your life. The other important thing that we looked at was the word hevel. Now, that's a Hebrew word, in case you didn't get it when I said it. Hevel is the word that is translated as meaningless, like how Sally, in the version Sally read, or it's often translated as vanity. Now, the basic meaning of this word is vapor or smoke. So when Kohelet says everything is meaningless, he's really saying everything is like vapor. It's temporary, it's enigmatic, it's like that steam that comes off a hot meal, or when you speak on a cold day, it's what your breath turns into. It's there and then it's gone, it shifts, it's meaningless, it's absurd, it's unpleasant, it's sometimes beautiful. Last week we saw a poem where Kohelet was concerned that the world just turns and turns and it never seems like it gains anything. Today, we'll journey with Kohelet as he conducts an experiment to find out what real wisdom is, what is good for the people on earth to do. So today, he's going to outline his experiment and its results. The first question in his experiment is, what can be gained by enjoyment. He keeps his head about him and he goes on a quest to drink in all the good things that this life can offer. He tries laughter and pleasure but finds it's a bit mad and useless. He goes on to see what success he can make for himself. He builds lavish homes, he plants vineyards, which in the ancient world was the sign of status and wealth and blessing. It's like having a pool in your house and your own tennis court and even probably your own golf course. That's how much he had done for himself. He plants a huge variety of fruit trees and has an irrigation system to water them, like he's creating his very own Garden of Eden. God created the world, but here Kohelet has been the creator of his own world. He amasses for himself slaves, and they give birth to more slaves. He has great herds and flocks, greater than anyone in Jerusalem. And in terms of treasure, he probably had a big, giant treasure vault like Scrooge McDuck so he could dive in off a diving board and swim around in all his gold and treasure. He was the patron of artists and singers. He also had concubines, the delight of the sons of men. All the joys and pleasures that he could build and make in the world, he did, and he kept his wits about him as he did it. Whatever he wanted, he did not deny himself. He was completely hedonistic. He was living his best life. He created the good life for himself. He YOLO'd like there was no tomorrow. In the ancient world, he was a rock star and a tech billionaire combined. However, he kept his head to see with wisdom what was in this that the good life could offer people. Then he reflected on all his riches, his pleasure, his success, and the work that he had done, and he saw that, well, pleasure was nice while it lasted, but that's really all he got from his toil. He concluded that all of that stuff was vapor and trying to catch wind. There was really nothing to gain under the sun. When I was a teenager, I remember when Pirates of the Caribbean: Curse of the Black Pearl came out at the cinema. It was an exciting movie to go and see, and the thing that stood out about that movie was the performance of Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. From that moment on, a teenage me thought Johnny Depp was the coolest person in existence. He continued to play these quirky but cool movie roles. He seemed like a genius to me. I thought he was so cool and I wished that I would be like him. Then in 2015, he married an actress called Amber Heard. For 2 years, they were married. During that time, he played Captain Jack Sparrow one last time in one last Pirates of the Caribbean film. And when I saw that movie, I thought, it looks like he's pretty much phoning in his performance at this point. And also, while they were filming it, in Queensland, he got into trouble with our very own Barnaby Joyce because they brought dogs into Australia without declaring them in customs. And that was all over the news. It was very silly and funny. A big deal made about these two probably cleanest dogs in Australia, yet they caused an international incident. Then after their marriage ended, Amber Heard started making accusations, some subtle and not so subtle, that Johnny Depp was abusive in their marriage. So he got fired from the Harry Potter movies he was in, yet the whole time he professed his innocence. Then in 2022, Johnny Depp sued Amber Heard for defamation in the United States of America, and the courtroom drama was aired online. For the first time, we got a look into their lives, and it seemed that Amber Heard was also quite abusive to Johnny Depp in their relationship. It was a train wreck from both sides. They also showed the massive amounts of drugs and substance abuse that Johnny partook in. There were pictures of large bags of marijuana, as well as all the alcohol that he drank and everything else. Someone to whom my mind had everything. He was talented, cool, rich, admired, and yet his life was one giant party of self-medicating with alcohol and drugs. Johnny Depp had the life that the teenage version of myself longed for, yet he seemed to have everything that he could want from this world, yet his free time was spent trying to escape his life through drugs and alcohol. this is vapor. Johnny spent his successful life trying to catch wind. So Kohelet then starts his second question. He tries to dedicate his mind to work out wisdom and madness and folly. If seeking pleasure, fame and fortune does not satisfy, then maybe by examining wisdom, he can work out what can be gained from this world. From when we're young, a good parent's job is to try and teach you to set up your life well in the world, teach you everything that they know that's good, so that if we follow their teaching, we can have a good life. This is wisdom. Parents teach us the road rules so that we would be safer on the road. So we grow up with an idea of what is good to do in life and what is bad. When I was young, the world told us that when you grow up, you do well in school, then you get to go to university, then you get a job, then you go and experience the world with some travel, then you get married, you buy a house and have children, and that is the wise way to set up a good life for yourself. On the other hand, we have the horror stories of a wasted life. We know those kids that couldn't walk that path, the ones who ended up on drugs, the ones who ended up in dead-end jobs. Their life went off the rails. So we have wisdom and foolishness. And Kohelet looks at it and says, well, the wise person who walks the wise path, well, they generally do gain a lot more in the world than the fool who walks in the darkness. But they both end up in the same place. The upper middle class family and the homeless drug addict will both die in the end. So really, what advantage is there to being wise over being foolish? The person who works hard and makes good decisions, and the foolish lout who drinks away their money and makes their life hard for everyone else, both end their journey in a coffin. This is vapor. Just as the fool is forgotten, so too is the wise man. Now, I think it makes it rather fitting that we don't actually know the name of the author of this book for certain. Even though his words have endured, the man is a forgotten mystery to us. This is vapor. This caused Kohelet to hate life. Everything is vapor and trying to catch wind. There is nothing to gain. So Kohelet starts to think about the futility of work. And he asks his third question. He says, even if you make lots of money and gain a fortune like Kohelet, you just have to leave it to someone else after you go. Someone, you have no idea how they're going to treat it. You have no idea if they'll be wise or foolish. Even worse for us these days is that the things that you've worked hard for, they lose their value pretty quickly. By the time you die, now there's no longer the goal to say, I wonder what great things I can have that pass on to my family. Now the goal is to say, I hope my family don't have to deal with a garage full of useless things. We work hard only for our treasures to be things that the salvos probably don't even have a use for. All of our work stress, the sweat from our brow, the sleepless nights, the unpaid overtime, the squabbling with difficult co-workers, most of what we gain, we have to spend to just keep our lives going, keep us alive, keep food, keep a roof over our heads. And that which we save, inflation has decided it's not worth what it used to be. And if we're lucky enough to have excess, that will just go to someone who doesn't care, who wants it but doesn't have the wisdom that comes from earning it. That is, if it is even worth something when we die. My parents collected records only to have them not be worth anything, only for me to collect CDs, only to have Spotify replace all my CDs. I'm so glad I put all this effort into working for nothing. This is vapor. There is nothing to gain in this life. Now that's all we have time for today. No, we'll keep going. We get a hint at a source of the problem and maybe something of the solution to this. Kohelet says, there's nothing better for a person that they should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? For the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vapor and striving after wind. So we get this hint that there is enjoyment in things. Maybe there is value in it. People can find enjoyment in their work. The enjoyment is a gift from God. We also get a hint at the source of Kohelet's struggle. He's perhaps not looking at the problem correctly. He's coming into it with false assumptions. He's like me looking at my tube of toothpaste. For him, it's a problem of scale. Now, if you look at this picture here, did you know that that's actually a picture of us? That was a picture taken in 2022. And you can see that's us over in the corner on that little ball there. That's Earth. That was taken from space. If you can see that dot over there, that's the moon. Now, from that picture, can you see the impact that our lives have on this world? Can you see all of the struggle and all the toil and all the things that we have done and what that has produced? Can you see all that we have gained under the sun? Of course not. There is a problem of scale. We'd need to zoom in a few million kilometres into that picture to see into our lives. So there's another picture there. Now we may get some light. There's a little dot of light there that might be us. We may have contributed to that light, maybe. As Kohelet looks across the vast length of the human experience, he sees a few things in common. And so when he looks across history and time, there is little that he sees as gain. Now, he's right in a lot of what he says. All the earthly things that we try to gain for ourselves will be like a small ball on the side of that picture. They'll be gone. They will be like vapor. But he does say that what we do, what we have to do is find enjoyment in the moments that we experience. We can eat and drink and enjoy our toil because that is from the hand of God. So whilst we will die someday, our Hanson CD that seemed so important to us when we were 12 has lost its value. But we did spend hours dancing along to Mbop, didn't we? We may not gain enough to take the place of God. We may not be able to make our own Eden and live in it forever. But we can enjoy the gifts of every moment that God has given us. We can enjoy sitting on a Sunday in a heated church with people who care about us and sing some songs. What you cannot see in this picture, in those pictures, are people caring for themselves, caring for each other. You cannot see the excitement of parents as their child makes their first goal at a soccer game. You cannot see someone drinking a nice coffee by a fire, enjoying the company of a cat or a dog that is cuddled up next to them. You cannot see the person who has decided that they no longer want addiction in their life, so they're making changes to right the wrongs of their past and build a future. You cannot see grandparents passing on skills that they learned as children to the next generation of children. You cannot see people being baptized and living with hope. You cannot see a kind gift given at the right time. You cannot see people giving up their time to spend next to someone in a hospital bed, showing that they love them, whether or not the person knows it. You cannot see people choosing love and sacrifice over selfishness. You cannot see the myriad of tiny moments that God gives us in this world. You cannot see that Jesus laid down his life and defeated death so there can be true hope in a truly redeemed eternal life. Jesus will straighten what is crooked and replace what is lacking. The way Kohelet views the world is like someone who's going to a restaurant and paying for an expensive meal. He is the customer, and the experience has to suit what he wants. If the spoon has a smudge on it, he tuts with disapproval. When he pays a large sum for his meal, he eats it not to enjoy but to review. If the meat is not cooked to the right thing, he'll be angry or disappointed. He'll be upset because the peas are too mushy. The meat is too rare, too overdone. He thinks the waiters are taking too long, or they're not coming out to replenish his drinks enough. With a focus on what he has to gain from the experience, the more he pays, the more he expects. For Kohelet, he takes the place of God to judge God's work, and so he finds it lacking. 2-star review, hardly worth the trouble and the hype. Everything is vapor, trying to catch wind. But what if he viewed the world as someone who's invited to go to someone's house for dinner? The dinner and the company is a gift from the host. The standards for the food will no longer be about what can I get from this, but the thing that would stand out is how much effort the person had put into the final product for you to enjoy with them. If it's not cooked to your liking, that's not important. The fact that the person took the time and effort to enjoy food with you is what speaks volumes. If Kohelet stopped asking, "What do I gain?" and started asking, "What have I been given?" maybe the vaporous existence under the sun will be thick with joy and excitement. Yes, life can be hard, but there is enjoyment in hard work. There is life in surviving chaos. We also know that the greatest gift that God has given us is his Son. And if we turn to him, then we have assurance that we will be with God for eternity. That means that the things are ultimately not vapor, but we can trust in the good gifts of God. This week, as you face a world that is obsessed with gain, perhaps you need to zoom in a bit further and see the gifts that you have been given. The air that you are breathing now is a gift from God. The food that you ate this morning. The smiles that you receive from friends. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us a wild and crazy and wonderful world to live in. Thank you that this life is not just vapor. There is substance and meaning to it. I pray, Lord, that we can see the gift in your creation and won't be obsessed with the gain. Pray, Lord, that we live our lives in such a way that we can show others your gifts too and the amazing gift that your Son is. So one day we can be back in your Eden, your new Jerusalem, new heavens, new earth, a place where things will not pass away, where we can trust in your love and your provision. Pray these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.